Welcome to my cozy crypt.
Welcome to the Crypt Keeper's Coffin, a Tales from the Crypt retrospective brought to you by Bat and Spider. Episode 37, Spoiled.
Wow.
I think you made Zoom clip there.
Oh, yeah, I did.
It canceled you out. It was like, it stopped you, hardened your tracks on my end.
I don't know how many settings I have to change for Zoom not to do that to me.
I know. I just want the clean version of Zoom. No filtering.
Yeah.
No noise gates. No nothing. I want the raw, hard...
What do we have to do?
Audio. That's all I want. Who knows what they're doing with the video, Dale? Probably touching up our faces, taking zits out. I probably don't even have a beard when you're looking at me.
Yeah, you look like Pierce Brosnan when...
Pierce Brosnan. We've got the Pierce filter on.
Pierce Brazo.
Xenia on a top. On a top. Dale, this is a show. This is a podcast called The Crypt Keeper's Coffin. And this is... Episode 37. We are at the tail end of season 3.
Oh boy, what a waste of a disc to only have 2 episodes. There better be so much back matter on this disc.
I was shocked when I looked at the listing on disc 3. 2 yeah. Shows? What?
Yeah.
They couldn't have just spaced that out.
I put a hole in one.
I bet you could, like... They could use these menus to get information out of people. Just playing yeah, on a loop, yeah, you know?
Right, right. It would drive people
Batty.
Crazy. Yeah.
Lose their minds. Oh, it's good to be back though, Dale. Feeling good.
Great.
Every time I hit record, I perk up. I feel great. It's good to be back.
I know. Well, you know, we're Dragon A.
Yeah.
And then we hit record and, you know, it all like the surge is back.
The electricity goes from the microphone through the foam into my mouth.
I'm about a week and a half with no caffeine. A week? No caffeine?
What? This is news to me.
Yeah. And I just had an espresso, but I'm switching up my blood pressure medication, so I'm not trying to.
So is that doctor's orders to chill with the caffeine, or is that just something you wanted to do?
That's self orders because Dr. Dale knows what his body needs, and
man,
I'm not trying to overdo it.
I'm jealous. I want to get off caffeine.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Because I used to be like in my 20s, like I'd go through phases where I drank coffee every day and then I just stop and just like forgot about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Miss that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I miss coffee. I do.
So
the thing is I'm drinking decaf, so it's not as bad. I'm still drinking decaf the same time I would drink my coffee.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad.
It's a little caffeine in there, right?
Yeah, there's a little tiny bit, and it's a little bit of the habit. And for me, sitting home and where I would normally drink 2 to 3 cups a day, I still have that sort of behavior going for me and stuff. But you know what I'd ultimately like is to just switch back up to like 2 monsters a day with my coffee. You know, like Mango Madness, Mango Punch. Before the show at night, like I just want to lean into it and not have my blood thickened by science and chemicals.
Did you get splitting headaches when you went off, when you went on the wagon, the caffeine wagon?
Yeah, I did. I did.
And I think that's what
scares me. It's still lingering a little bit.
I would just, because I'm the type of person, if I have a headache, I'm just, it takes up all my mind space and I'm just obsessing over, why do I have this headache? And I can only think about that for the duration.
Yeah. And you know, like the ultimate lethargy is like upon me.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it.
God, it's like you're a kitty cat just sitting in the window. Can I tell you what this episode's about?
Please do. You know, we're at a minute 23 already, I think.
That's it? I feel like I've been on here forever. An extremely, extremely horny housewife is living with her very oblivious husband / doctor while he toils away on a revolutionary new anesthesia. I said that wrong. Anesthesia.
That's how Nigella would say it.
Microwave. But the horniness becomes too powerful, and she decides to start shtupping the cable guy. But when her doctor husband catches them in the act, he decides to exact his revenge in a very creative way. This is Spoiled. Dale, were you ready for the waterfalls and the box talk and the male-to-female cable, coaxial cable talk that was going to go on in this?
So where do you want it?
Huh?
Your box.
Excuse me?
Your cable box.
Oh.
Where do you want it?
Well, I need it more than once. I mean, I need it in different rooms. I mean, can you do it in the bedroom too?
No problem.
Anthony LaPaglia and
Sex God. Who knew?
Faye Grant. I mean, yeah. The amount of double innuendos going on in this episode, dripping with sex and whispered voices and juicing from the man and female parts.
I know. We couldn't have planned it any better. This episode is going to drop on the 13th, and so tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So. Golly, how did that happen?
What a perfect timing of events, because this is the episode you want to see if you were looking to, you know, watch two people talking about how cable boxes and installations make you hornier than F.
With their, like, mouths literally, like, 3/4 of an inch away from each other for most of the scene. Just like...
Yeah.
Just breathing in each other's air.
Like Anthony LaPaglia's pointy upper lip, it was like watching a llama's upper lip, like, feel its way around the mouth area of the woman. I mean, it was just pawing around with its own set of muscles that were, like, I've never even seen LaPaglia so close to a woman's face.
He played Abel the cable guy, ridiculous name, but I gotta say he was getting to me. Like, he was a sexy guy in this, and he is not an actor that I like would have, in my mind, would have casted in a role like this, but he pulled it off.
Yeah. With his hair, like the sexy,
yeah,
like wet looking hair,
his cable guy outfit, and like, and he was working out. He was a thick boy.
Oh, yeah. He probably had, like, you know, like fiberglass insulation, like, in his clothes from installing cable all day. And he'd come over and embrace his lady.
God. How many ladies is he involved with on his routes?
He's probably fostered a clientele list like I've never even seen.
Fostered children. And there's this whole aspect of the show where Janet, she's our main protagonist, she's into this soap opera, And there's a certain character who's like a sexy older woman named Fuchsia Monroe, and that's like her idol. And like her neighbor Louise comes over, and they watch together while they fold laundry, and they just talk about like, ah, why can't we be like Fuchsia? She just takes what she wants. She doesn't take any guff from her husband. You know, she just sleeps with whoever she wants, you know?
Yeah. So her and her neighbor friend are just eating up the stories.
Yeah.
You know, that's why she calls Abel the cable guy to come install, because she's tired of this reception, this antenna reception that she gets.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is old fashioned stuff. Her antenna just keeps crapping out and during very important scenes in the soap opera. And she can't take it anymore.
What?
I'm having problems with my reception, Abel. I've tried the knobs, but I'm not getting anything.
Well, I'm pretty good at playing with knobs.
In a nod or in I don't know, a throwback. The only thing I can equate it to, Chuck, is when we watched The Fly, 1958's The Fly, I think, where this doctor had a whole laboratory in his basement.
Is this we've given up reading the comics because we're lazy pieces of asses. But assuming this was the same setup from a comic in the 50s, like, and The Fly is from that same area, were doctors, did they all have like home laboratories in the basement, you know, like just bring their work home?
Yeah.
I wonder how common that was.
So common, I think.
So common that we're talking about it right now.
It's probably as common as, you know, a white man having a podcasting area in his house nowadays.
Yeah. If they made that nowadays, it would be a podcasting lair. The podcasting man cave.
Right, with the light and all, the live on air light.
Live or on the air, do not enter.
Yeah.
Wife. I'm talking to my wife, don't enter. Yeah. Don't have sex with me. I'm podcasting with my friends.
My future is at stake.
Future.
And the doctor happens to be working on this anesthesia that will keep a person under for days, up to 15 days under. Insane. So they can perform these ultimate operations, like operations that you've never even thought of, because there's just not enough time.
Yeah.
Until now.
I mean, imagine the possibilities. Like, the surgeons could, like, think of all the smoke breaks they could take. They could go home, go to sleep, get up the next day, come back, continue their operation. Unreal. Unbelievable.
That's all I could think about. Like, a gallbladder removal just takes 2 days because, you know, they're just.
Yeah, I'm mad. They would just start stretching these surgeries out, like, needlessly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The fun, the money, the bills.
Yeah. The anesthesia bills are just going to go through the roof.
Yeah. And, you know, he will not yield to his wife's advances while he's in the zone, while he's working on this secret formula.
She's pawing at him. She's trying everything. Pawing at him, wearing lingerie, you know, attacking him when he comes home.
Attacking him.
Heavy hints. Like,
in everything. In the words of Alpha Beta's Stan Gable, she was like a goat. That's Stan Gable, though. That's
and he's this guy with his hairpiece. He is just, he doesn't, all he cares about is working on his little thing he's making. And he just ignores her. And that's my like biggest complaint, is that there's a lot of time of her, you know, trying to get her husband to have sex with her, and just I guess it's good. It's to build up the energy, the sexual energy, before she finally decides to have sex with Anthony LaPaglia.
There's definitely a building of, you know, like the dam is overflowing.
Yes.
Before the dam shall break. Yeah. And
I did like, though, once they started doing the deed, that they kept getting more and more adventurous. And like, at first they would only do it when the doctor was out, but then the doctor comes home and announces, oh, he's, you know, he got a leave of absence so he could stay at home and work on his anesthesia all the time. But then they just start, you know, because they have the red light and they know he's downstairs, they just start doing it right in the living room next to the door, just getting more and more bold.
I know. Yeah, she was, I mean, and for her to take those chances, it's her, you know,
yeah.
And he's a dummy too. He's like, well, you know, he's right downstairs, but you know, he was overcome by the sweet talking, the pillow talk by her. So, you know, she was very, interested in that was part of her kink at a certain point. It turned into it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it must be for, yeah, people who get in these situations. That's part, you know, the threat of being caught, or, you know, even doing it while the person's at home. Oh my God. I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess if that's your thing, that's like the ultimate, that's the apex right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, like dummies, like the dummies they are, their cult embraced in a tangle of love and fluid. And, yeah. You know, you come to find out the only thing that's stopping this light from coming on and off is human interaction by touching a button. So Doc is so excited that he perfected this formula,
yeah,
and kept a rabbit on operation for 15 days that he runs upstairs with a rabbit in his hands. He doesn't touch the button.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it took.
I guess the light, when the light goes off and he hits the button, it also makes a sound, which was very convenient.
That was super convenient. She didn't have to keep her eyes on the light the entire time.
Yeah, but he's so excited. He's going to show his wife the rabbit, who's just fine. He was put under for 15 days. He's fine. Just a good old rabbit.
Yeah, he's back.
But he catches him. Doesn't say anything.
No.
He's a man of science, so he's... He decides to slink back down to his lair and figure out how he can take out his anger in a creative, scientific way.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I honestly didn't see this coming, Dale. I mean, I knew there was going to be something with the anesthesia working in, because they were spending so much time on it, so much time that I was like getting annoyed with it. So he, what's that stuff that you do when you, like, when Ace Ventura stops the football player on the running track? What is that? Yeah. Chloroform. Is it chloroform?
Chloroform. Yeah.
So he, the good doctor, chloroforms his wife and the cable guy. And next we see them downstairs in his lab on operating tables. We're like, oh boy, what is he doing?
Yeah, he's getting creative.
And of course, he's giving them the 15-day sleep so he can do a very complicated surgery. Perhaps the first in its of its kind. I mean, yeah. Guaranteed. First of its kind.
Has to be. Guaranteed.
Yeah. And the big reveal is they wake up 15 days later, they're back on the couch where they were, and they just think, oh, we're, you know, wow, we were really out. We really effed a lot and we're just very tired.
Yeah.
But the camera pulls back and the good doctor switched their heads.
Leon, how could you?
You lost your heads over each other. You wanted each other's bodies. I gave them to you.
Mic drop.
And this is like, but the effect was rough, Dale. Like, I wish they had, I don't know, done some creative latexing, but this was like Conan O'Brien, early 90s, like... like blue, like blue, yeah, screen, yeah, stuff, you know.
Yes, that's right.
Like you could see the head like floating off the body, you know. Yeah. They had to stay very still to make the effect work.
Yeah. Oh man, that was a good callback. What a time.
Yeah.
Seeing that stuff, man. And that's how it ended. It was kind of, that was the worst part of the whole ep. You know, yeah, those effects were just okay. And also, you know, last week we spoke about our old new love, Annabelle Gurwitch. She was only in it in the very beginning.
Jeez, Dale. That was the biggest disappointment.
Yeah.
Only huge. A tiny bit of Annabelle.
Mm-hmm.
She should have had the main role. Think of what she could have done in that role.
Man, I haven't stopped thinking about it. I know. Your lips, I mean, to God's ears.
These two hosts would have been on the floor.
Yeah, convulsing at least.
I Googled old Annabelle before we got on here, and I found, like, I think she does a lot of writing nowadays, and I read this essay she did for a magazine about how she calls it a cult. She says she was in a cult for like 7 years in the 80s, and she was like fresh out of college and just starting out in acting. But it wasn't really a cult. I think it was more like a group of friends she fell in with that convinced themselves that they were descendant from aliens, and that someday, you know, like alien gods were going to come and lead them to the promised land. But it was more like, it was like stuff. They also like did that stuff that like that book, The Secret, like, you know, like visualizing the things you want in life and that they'll come true if you believe it. You know, they did a lot of that stuff. Yeah. There was like no abuse and no sex stuff, and like, you know, it seemed somewhat harmless as far as cults go.
Okay.
But yeah, it was interesting to read a little
bit. She wanted to write about it.
Her history, yeah.
Yeah.
Annabelle. Yeah. But the leader of the cult said she was going to urge her to move to LA, and that she was going to become an actress and marry a slim blonde man. And she did do that, but they divorced later.
Whoa.
But wow. You got to wonder, chicken and egg situation, you know?
Yes, exactly. Right.
If I'm your cult leader and I'm telling you, you're going to marry a slim blonde man, that's all you're looking for. Slender blonde man in your vicinity. And then you're going to ask him to marry you real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, good old Annabelle. I hope she comes back. That would be great.
That would be fantastic. Completely.
I did also read she was in another HBO show, like one of her first things. Oh yeah, called Not Necessarily the News from 1985 to 1990.
Oh wow.
It was like a parody news program that HBO did.
Oh, she was in that?
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I wonder if there's... Man, I wish HBO would dig up some of their old stuff. I feel like they ignore their early stuff. Or maybe they just don't have the rights to it, you know?
Yeah.
I would love to see this stuff.
Was Dream On on HBO?
Oh, I don't know.
That was some other, like, early boobage. It's like a comedy.
Yeah, that was HBO. Yeah, I don't think that's up there. That was huge. That was very popular.
Yeah.
I think it even went into syndication because like they edited it and put it on like TBS or something. That's how I saw it, because I never really had HBO except for free weekends. But yeah, I actually appreciated the episode. It was something a little different, a little something for the ladies.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there was no blood and guts, and the ending effect was kind of lame. But I don't know. I thought it was interesting. Maybe it's because it's Valentine's Day though. I'm in the mood.
Yeah, exactly. We were, right. That's more so what it was, you know.
But yeah. Oh, Dale, what are we talking about next time on this show?
Chuck, the season 3 finale next week.
Wow.
Titled Yellow. Okay. The year is 1918. During World War I, somewhere in France, it's the 49th day of continuous battle on the front lines.
Whoa.
Lieutenant Calthrop doesn't want to be in the army anymore and asks his father, General Calthrop, for a discharge. His father refuses, but says he will transfer him to the rear if he leads a patrol to the German lines and fix the broken communication line. When he proves himself to be a coward, his father orders a court-martial with penalty of death by firing squad.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
This is like a... This is probably came from like a Two-Fisted Tales... or one of the other war magazines that EC did. This is exciting.
Yeah. You ready for this cast?
I may have cheated, but I am ready for this casting. Lay it on me.
First director, Robert Zemeckis, back in the director's chair. And then Kirk Douglas.
Wow.
Eric Douglas, which is, I am assuming, is Kirk's other son. One of his other sons.
Didn't know about Eric.
Rest in peace, Eric. Sounds like he passed away.
Oh, no.
Few years back, Lance Henriksen.
Oh, wow.
Dan Aykroyd.
My God.
Can I keep, I mean, what if,
holy
this is
moly.
Insane.
What a cast. Yeah. They must have, Yeah, I guess Zemeckis really wanted to go hard on an episode.
Mm-hmm.
He brought some big guns. How do you get Kirk Douglas for a Tales from the Crypt episode? That's amazing.
Yeah, seriously. That's pretty amazing.
Wow. That's exciting. The World War One Axe.
Some World War One Axe. Oh, wow. Wow. The longest episode of Tales from the Crypt with twice the running time of any other episode of the show.
Holy
Whoa.
Crap.
This is like a mini movie.
This is going to be a very special episode next week.
Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea.
I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, 37 minutes.
Ooh. Says. You could tell a lot of story with 37 minutes.
Yeah, I mean.
Especially with this group of folks.
Yeah, we see what they do with 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be quite a ride.
Amazing.
I might have to pop some popcorn for this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get a little drink. A little seltzer.
A little something, a little sippy poo seltzer.
All right, Dale. I will talk to you next week when we tackle episode Yellow.
All right. Until then, happy Valentine's Day, creeps.
Bye-bye.
When are you going to join the rest of us in the 20th century and get cable? The picture is so much better. Plus, you get HBO and everything. It would really improve the quality of your life.